The Gospel Light and Truth Crusade is a podcast of our ministry, which you can find at www.gospellightandtruthcrusade.com, and is hosted by Christian evangelist, author, and GLTC founder, Tony Keaton. The program attempts to strengthen and edify the body of Christ by combating false doctrines and errant teachings that have corrupted the simple faith of the work of Jesus. We also look at contemporary issues from a biblical perspective as well as prophetic events and prove that the Bible holds the key to our past, present, and future. By giving you good sound Bible doctrine and good sound Bible teaching, the Gospel Light and Truth Crusade helps you to make good, sound decisions for yourself and your family. Welcome to the Gospel, Light, and Truth Crusade. I'm your host, Tony Keaton. Well, saints, yet another Resurrection Day is upon us, and I thank God for that. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are still alive to celebrate this momentous occasion, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I go any further, I would like to pray, and I'd like you to pray along with me. And so we pray. Dear Lord Jesus, Almighty Father, Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, the first and the last, the captain of our salvation, and the author and finisher of our faith. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful that I am alive today to celebrate yet another Resurrection Day, and to thank you for the sacrifice that you made, this great momentous sacrifice that you made on Calvary for me and for the entire world, but especially those of us who believe. I thank you and I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, that at this very moment I am able to celebrate this day without fear for my life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that at this moment I am of a sound mind and of a sound body. I'm able to lift up my voice and sing praises to you, Lord Jesus. I can clasp my hands together, close my eyes, and send my prayers up to the throne of grace and know that they will be heard by you. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, that there's a roof over my head. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, that I have an address that I can call home. I'm grateful for having hot and cold running water. I'm grateful, Lord Jesus, for the clothes that you put on my back and the shoes that you put on my feet. But most of all, Lord Jesus, I'm grateful that I'm saved because of the blood that you shed for me on Calvary. And because I'm trusting in that blood, Lord Jesus, for my salvation, I can rejoice along with others, Lord, who have made that same decision, who have put their faith in you and only you, Lord Jesus, and the sacrifice that you made for us on Calvary. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you once again for making that sacrifice for me. It's in your name that I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I thank you for bearing with me, saints, while I rendered that prayer. It was in my heart to do that, and it's something that I just had to do. Saints, I am so grateful, as I said, that we have yet another day to celebrate this day. Another year, I should say, to celebrate this day. I don't know how many more we're going to have, but I thank God that we have this one. At least, as I speak right now, we have this one. There's a lot of debate about when Jesus actually died, what day it actually was. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists say that we should celebrate the Lord's Day on the Sabbath, which they say is Saturday. And they've a great beef with the Roman Catholic Church, whom they accuse of having changed the day to Sunday, the day which the pagans worship the sun, as many believe. And so this day is called Easter, and we know that Easter is a pagan holiday. named after a pagan goddess. We know this. But saints, let me make one thing perfectly clear. When the Lord Jesus died, he left no commandment to us to celebrate. He never asked us to celebrate the day of his resurrection. What he did was leave us the Lord's Supper and ask that we eat the Lord's Supper. And as often as we eat it, we should do so in remembrance of him. He didn't even tell us what day we should eat the Lord's Supper. The first century church, the disciples, decided to do this on the first day of the week because that was the day that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and found it empty. So this is the day that traditionally the church just decided to celebrate, to eat the Lord's Supper and to have church, really, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Not the first work day of the week. The first day of the work week is Monday. But the first day of the week is actually Sunday. Now, some say that it should be Saturday. And the thing is, I don't know. Whoever the guys are that make the decisions of what day is going to be the first day, what day is going to be last day, guess what? I'm not one of them. And I really believe that the Lord Jesus, he foresaw this debate coming. He knew that there would be a day when these things would be debated and that there would be much strife and much contention and going back and forth within and without the body of Christ. And I believe this is the reason why he never asked us to ordain a specific day to worship him. The disciples made that decision actually it was the Holy Spirit that made that decision. But the disciples, they carried that mandate forward. But thing is that Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he never commanded the disciples to worship the day that he was resurrected. And he never commanded the disciples to worship the day of his birth. These things have been done by men. However, regardless of what day it actually happened, I'm just thankful that it did happen. Because as the Apostle Paul said, that if Jesus Christ be not risen, then we, above all men, are most miserable. Because everything that we believe hinges upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he isn't risen, then we have no religion. And as the Apostle Paul said, then our faith is in vain. We are still in our sins. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is risen, because the tomb was empty, then we above all men are most joyous, because we have passed from death to life, and we can celebrate that. The Bible says that our home is not here. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth because we seek another country. And so because of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary, then those of us who are trusting in his blood, then we need not despair about the things that are coming upon the world, because Jesus has reserved something better for us. And so I rejoice along with all the others all over the world who have made the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior. What I want to do today is I just feel like reading. I want to read the Apostle John's account of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is after the Lord Jesus Christ prayed his great priestly prayer for the church. So I'm going to pick up after the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken the last words of this prayer, starting in chapter 18, verse 1 of the Gospel of John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the place of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man! When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, and on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in its place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. Saints, I really felt like reading that today, and I hope that you found it as inspiring for you as it was for me to read this book about the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saints, don't get caught up in endless arguments about when Jesus rose and what day he rose and whether it was Saturday or whether it was Sunday and whether it's called Easter or whether we call it Resurrection Day. All these things are not important. As the Apostle Paul said, that one man esteemeth one day above another, another man esteemeth all days alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. For me, that means that Jesus did not even ask us to celebrate his resurrection. He didn't. It's something that we do out of love, respect, and adoration for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that tremendous sacrifice that he made in our behalf. He did not ask us to do that. What he did ask us to do was to eat the Lord's Supper, and that we should continue to eat the Lord's Supper until he comes. And so, saints, I ask that you not get caught up in these endless arguments that Paul said. It just creates more strife. It doesn't solve anything. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're just grateful that he rose. You don't really care what day he rose. The fact is, he did rise. And because he rose, then you and I shall also rise so that we can be with him forever. And that's good news, saints. That's extremely good news. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians that don't have the assurance that we have. We have the assurance of the Almighty God that he's written here and his word, that we are saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross, that we need not do anything else. We need not add anything to that. All we need to do is believe in the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us. I just wanted to just give you that word from the Holy Bible, and just give you some encouragement today that we should just be very grateful and thankful that we are alive to celebrate yet another Resurrection Day. And so I pray, saints, that you will have a blessed Resurrection Day. Please don't get caught up in all the superfluous things that many churches do on Resurrection Day that really don't make any sense, if you ask me. I say keep it simple. Celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just be grateful that you're alive to celebrate it. And you may want to also consider eating the Lord's Supper. I don't know if your church, many churches don't eat the Lord's Supper on Resurrection Day, but if you think about it, if there's any day of the week, or any day of the year, I should say, that one should eat the Lord's Supper, it is definitely on Resurrection Day. I sure plan on eating the Lord's Supper with my children. And so I pray that you'll think about this. And if it's not your church tradition, but if you are a believer, you may consider eating the Lord's Supper in honor of that tremendous sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us on the cross at Calvary. So thank you, saints, for joining me for a special Resurrection Day 2015 broadcast. And until next time, saints, be encouraged and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.